Good morning. I tell you, Brother Sam, I'll never look at my cell phone the same way ever again. Praise the Lord. Let's look at the book of John. John chapter 1. Read from verse 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. Verse 4, in Him was life, and the life was the light of men. Verse 14, and the Word was made flesh, and dwelt amongst us, and we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. And also verse 18, no man hath seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, He hath declared Him. By the help of the Holy Spirit this morning, I'd like to bring the second lecture. And for me, as Brother Carlos had mentioned, we've directed this camp for the last 13 years. And this is the first time that I've given a lecture here at this camp. And when we went over the schedule and we looked at the lectures, I said, boy, I have a hard task because I'm following Brother Sam. I said, but we'll press on. Now, the Gospel of John was written sometime after Matthew, Mark, and Luke. Matthew was written about AD 37. Mark was written AD between 57 and 63, and Luke was written AD 63 and 68. But the book of John was written about 48 years later than these other three books. And Matthew, Mark, and Luke, and John, by the Holy Spirit, tells us about the birth and ministry of Jesus Christ. But John begins the book of John in a different approach. And you wonder why. And some time had elapsed between the death of the Lord Jesus. And during that time, there were many attacks on the person of the Son. The early Christians were given a lot of trouble. And they were given trouble by a group called Gnostics. That's G-N-O-S-T-I-C-S. Not agnostics. That's a different group. Now, agnostics, they deny any knowledge of God. And they deny that anything of God is not possible. But the Gnostics, they were kind of different in that they believed in a superior knowledge, and that there was a denial of the Godhead. That, yes, there was Jesus Christ, but He was just simply a man. They taught that Jesus Christ lived, but He was just a regular man that walked the earth. And when I was reading about this, I was thinking about something that happened to me recently. About two Sundays ago, myself and my wife and daughter were at the assembly in Baltimore. And in Baltimore, there's a large group of Bhutanese and Nepali Sikhs. So, for those of you who don't know, I come from an Indian background. My great-grandfather was actually a Hindu priest. They call it a Pandit. And so one of the brothers there, Brother Sun, Sun Rai, I don't know if he was testing me. I don't know if he wanted to see what I knew. But so he came to me and he said, "Brother, where is the link between Hinduism and Buddhism?" So I thought it was strange that he would ask me such a question. But I knew the answer, believe it or not. You see, in Nepal, there's this famous tree where many people come and they come to just visit a tree. Now, the tree is there because there was once an Indian prince and his name was Siddharth. And he came from the Shakra dynasty and he enjoyed all the pleasures that man could want. And he lived sumptuously in sin. But one day he had the realization that this is wrong. So he went on some spiritual journey. And he went to all the sages and the gurus of that time and he started doing meditation and all these different things trying to find salvation. Well, he changed his name to Buddha because at this tree is where he said he found enlightenment. So right now, if you were to look in Bhutan, the demographics would be about 80% of the population is Buddhist, about 10 to 15% are Hindu, and the 5% would fall under other. And it's at this tree that he found enlightenment, and he said, and this is what they teach. They teach that there's no such thing as God. That if you want to find salvation, you have to find it within yourself. You have to be one with nature. And if you're one with nature, you'll find salvation. You'll gain a certain amount of enlightenment. That there's no such thing as a deity. That you have to gain superior knowledge. And I said, this is the same thing that the early Christians were facing. In reading this subject, a lot of times you would read different writers, and they would talk about the distinctiveness. But there are two writers that I like, and they kept using this one particular word, absolute. And I want to use that word to describe my lecture. Absolute. The first word is absolute existence. In the beginning was the word. Absolute existence. We talked about logos, and there's another word, rhema, which simply means utterance. It's a sense of the spoken word. And I know Brother Sam went into some detail about logos, meaning the Greek and the logic, the mind in communication.